welcome to the latest Pokey Gamer podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn. With me today is Fraser McInnes.
Singular, yes. Hello.
Yes, and you'll notice, or you'll have observed by that, the grammar there that I used, that Chris isn't with us today. He's actually in Barcelona.
Poor Chris.
The entire month.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor old Chris. He's hot, I think it is, in Barcelona.
Is it? Oh, man, that sucks. Really? Yeah.
What's it? Is it hot in Berlin?
It is, actually. It's stinking hot. But it's not hot in that it's sunny. It's just hot in that the air feels like a sauna when you walk outside, which is quite unpleasant, to be honest with you. But it's probably not what you want to hear living in the UK.
No, because it's chilly here almost already. Okay. Sick of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to emigrate.
You ought to. At some point.
Right then. We're actually, there are very few noises, but we were expecting for this podcast to be interrupted by somebody sanding in Germany, and there's actually a car alarm being going off all morning in Bristol, UK, but it's not happening at the moment. So
sounds from okay. Around the globe.
Yes. So let's move on with news. Actually, before news, I just want to respond to a couple of comments that we had from about last week's podcast. Firstly, from Cloud, who we know his real name is Tim. Fraser, we want the video podcast back, man. ... And then after him, Careface says, "I have to agree with Cloud." So yeah, we're getting some good feedback.
We are. It's good to see that the people are warming to the audio version of the podcasts, and that it's been an unequivocal success.
I've had some ideas there. But the video podcasts that we used to do, they were very time intensive, weren't they? They used to take up a lot of your time.
They were.
So I don't know if we can return to them, but I've had some ideas. I don't know. See what you think. We could go down the Kotaku route. We could play games and then talk while we're playing the games and record the audio.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. But
that was had by Kotaku.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's a good thing to copy.
But there's a problem with that, of course. And the problem is that when I don't know about you, but when I play a game, I go completely silent. I shut down. I don't respond to questions.
Yeah, I'm quite male in that respect as well. I'm unable to multitask in a situation like that. I can't, you know, I often have that situation when I'm sitting playing a game, and my wife will ask me a question. I'll go, "Yeah, uh-huh," and then she says, "Are you listening?" And I go, "Yeah," and then you're asked to repeat what was just said to you, and of course, 9 times out of 10, you can't, or at least
yeah.
I can't.
Bang. Yeah, I suffer from that, so that's probably not going to work. We could use webcams to video ourselves in our rooms.
Only if we can attend each week's podcast in fancy dress.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that my problem with that particular plan is that, I don't know about you, but I always record the podcast completely naked. And finally, we could dub our voices over other footage. So, for example, wildlife documentaries, I thought we could do. We could get a wildlife documentary, and like we could each take a part. So you could be like maybe a rhino, and I could be a lion. And we could just...
That's a masterstroke. Really, that is genius. We should definitely do that.
Yeah.
Although...
Let's do it.
The copyright thing might be a problem, but we just need to find some stock footage of wildebeests being assailed by angry lionesses. And then...
And Chris joins us.
Okay.
God, that would be good.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
These are brilliant ideas.
Yeah, but listeners, please pitch in or at least give us some criticism about those, and we'll see if we can implement them in the future. Hello?
Hello?
This is weird. Is anything happening? Are we recording?
Yeah, we are. I feel like I'm stuck in some sort of time warp. I think this is my life now. I'm going to just be sat here forever.
Yeah, I feel autistic. I feel like I'm saying things, but I'm not really interfacing. Anyway.
You have no meaningful connection with language.
Yeah, I'm just going to assume everything's okay now. And we've had our blue sky thinking, so let's move on to news. There was an interesting piece of news last week that's actually been rumbling on forever, but last week it kind of boiled up. Relating to Tim Langdell, the owner of the copyright for the word edge.
Ooh, careful.
Sorry. For a word that is synonymous with the word precipice.
Good comeback.
His name is Tim Langdell. I think I can say that. And he's been a few weeks ago. Edge came off the App Store. This is a game named after the word that means the same thing as precipice. And everyone kind of knows that it's basically because he has been chasing the Moby Games, the makers of Edge, around and telling them that they have to give him some money or take the game off the App Store because they're infringing on his copyright. But because that story kind of, it's captured people's imaginations, hasn't it?
It has.
Everyone really seems to hate Tim Langdell. They want to get rid of him.
They do.
And he's on the, is it IDGA or the?
Yeah.
IGDA. Yeah. And there's apparently been a movement to get him off that.
Naughty boy. He's drunk with power, is what he is.
But he's a sordid sounding character to me, because the basis on which he defends his license is that he's, you know, an active game developer. And he actually, in the email that he sent to Moby Games, he actually, you know, made this point that I'm an active game developer and I'm a member of the community and I've got a right to defend my copyright. But he hasn't released anything new for something like 15 years.
Yeah. I read that as well. That it seems a bit sort of, some of his claims are a little spurious.
Yeah. And we should just say at the end, we should tack on to that. Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. Sorry.
That basically covers this, doesn't it?
I think so. Good. So did we say Tim Langdell? We meant Jim Langdell in a very similar case.
Yeah. Jim Langdell. Owner of the word precipice in a bakery context. So there we have it. So that's that piece of news. That is exciting for all kind of fans of the underdog in the world, and that's basically everybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
But who tell you who isn't an underdog?
Who's that?
Although you're going to argue with me.
Okay.
You'll be right. Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem is no underdog. He's very much the alpha male of the universe.
Well, yes, but, and that's what I was thinking when I said he's not an underdog. But then I thought about it, and I thought, it kind of is an underdog, because Duke Nukem Forever is this game that on PC has been in development for more than 10 years, and just this year it was finally canned. Much to the amusement of the video game industry, every member of the video game industry, except for the people who are developing it, obviously.
Yeah.
For whom it's a great tragedy. But Duke Nukem has come out on the App Store today.
The original Duke Nukem 3D.
So that's good.
That is
except
good.
It's not good, because Duke Nukem can't catch a break. It's come out and it's actually not working properly. The left analog stick, the left virtual analog stick, is basically borked. And so as soon as the game went live, there was lots of kind of early criticism from gamers saying this actually is broken, it doesn't work.
Yeah, fixing it won't help. It's a first-person shooter. Unless somebody comes up with some sort of really drastically new way of controlling first-person shooter games on the iPhone, I'm going to be unconvinced until that day that the genre can work on an iPhone. Even with the sort of older, more retro games like Duke Nukem. I mean, Duke Nukem 3D, unlike Doom or Wolfenstein, actually requires you to maneuver the camera. It's not like your head's fixed on one plane. So, I mean, that complicates things even further. And as much as I'm happy to see it on the platform, because it's a great game and it's something I've not played in a long time, and I will definitely enjoy checking it out again, I'm sure it's just not going to really stand up to it. I mean, it's a genre that really demands precision, and you just can't really have it on an iPhone, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I entirely feel that way. I think it's not ideal, but, it depends what you expect. I remember playing Gloom on an Amiga 1200, which is an early 3D game, very blocky, and all the controls were just done with the cursor keys. You didn't have mouse look in the way that you will with this game, but it was still very crude. But I still kind of went through it and quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I haven't really played any of the other first-person shooters, except that, what was it called, Deep Space Rescue, which I talked about last week.
And Slated.
Utter bollocks. Don't know why they bothered.
But see, you know the thing about it is that for every gaming platform, it always seems to be that first-person shooters are considered to be the pinnacle of what's achievable on that platform. If somebody wants to say, this is how tough my console is. They'll point to the latest and greatest first-person shooter to try and illustrate how powerful the console is. And the same's happening with the iPhone. But I think it's kind of the wrong route to go. I think there's much better ways of illustrating what the iPhone can do. It's a sort of square peg round hole situation a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think you could be right. I can see how your mind works there. Because you're taking us towards the next news item.
I am, of course. I'm not going to use the word that Chris is so fond of. I'll let you fill that in.
Would that word be segue?
That would be the word. I can't repeat it. I can't bring myself to even hear it again.
Segue.
But that's what I was doing, for want of a better word.
Yeah, it's a good word. Into news that Gameloft is bringing Modern Combat to iPhone. And that's going to be out by the end of the month. And it's a first-person military shooter based in modern times.
Yeah. And
modern
here's
combat.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I'm going to be quite possibly set to eat my own words, because the video looks implausibly good in terms of how good the controls are. So either there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors going on here, and that when we actually see it in the hands of somebody attempting to control it via two digital thumbsticks, it's not going to be quite as smooth. Or what would be much better, and what I would like to see, is Gameloft have hit upon some sort of a system for making first-person shooter games playable and usable on an iPhone. And they're the ones with the experience, because they've released a few now, or at least they've released a few kind of high-action shooter games where you need to have lateral and horizontal movement as a key part of the controls. So
it definitely does look very impressive in the video. I like Gameloft. I mean, we were just talking about copyright infringement before, and Gameloft aren't—they don't infringe copyright, but they flirt with it, don't they? Really?
Guitar Rock Tour, anyone?
Yeah, they definitely hang around in that area.
Yeah.
Modern Combat, Sandstorm. Well, Modern Combat, obviously, the recent. Well, it's actually 2 years old now, but the very successful Call of Duty game is called Modern Warfare, and Modern Warfare 2 is coming out very soon. So Modern Combat, I think they are possibly, I don't know, maybe, allegedly, attempting to capitalize on the success of that game, but fair enough. Where are we? We're going into the rumor. Oh, God.
Oh, Christ.
That's what we need Chris for. We need the metaphor generator.
The metaphor generator, that's what it is. He's like a talking notepad, isn't he?
Right. Yeah.
Here we go. Rimmer. Rimmer.
We need more of those. We need more songs with one lyric replaced by you saying something.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
In your rich Scottish brogue.
No, we do actually have rumours, don't we?
Rumour.
A rumour.
Yeah, go on.
Right, this rumour, before I say this rumour, can I just say this rumour was hastily imagined about 30 seconds prior to the recording of the podcast, so bear with us. Duke Nukem Forever is coming to the iPhone. Yes, you heard it here first. It has been cancelled on all other platforms, but because Duke Nukem 3D is now available via the App Store, we think that it's a very serious indication that the developers of Duke Nukem Forever have decided to switch platforms and bring the game out on the iPhone to capitalize, obviously, on the platform's enormous success over the past couple of years. Yeah, do you have anything to add to that, Rob?
Only that I think it is an extremely plausible and exciting rumor.
Awesome. Then we're all agreed. By this time, maybe 2021, we'll be playing Duke Nukem Forever on our iPhones.
Yeah, if it doesn't get canned. I think on this, we could come up with quite a few rumours this way, couldn't we?
Yeah,
I mean,
we
simply
could.
Simply by saying things like Far Cry 2 coming to iPhone.
Yeah.
Quake 3 is coming to iPhone. oh, I don't know. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 coming to iPhone. We could just do that for a
yeah.
while.
Definitely. GTA 5 to be iPhone exclusive.
Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, should we get out of our mind before we incur any more lawsuits?
We should get our losses.
Right, okay. Rimmer. Rimmer. And we're out. We're safe.
Good. here. Nobody needs to know what happens in the room of mine,
no,
unfortunately.
They don't.
What happens in there stays in there. So now, where are we? We're talking about what we've been playing, aren't we?
We are. We're talking about what we've been playing. What have you been playing?
I've been playing two games this week. One of them is called Gomi.
Uh-huh.
Which, if you haven't read about it, I know you have, but if anybody hasn't read about it, it's kind of a cross between Katamari and Rolando. And when I say Rolando, Rolando itself is kind of a cross between Loco Roco and Solar Roller on the mobile. So it's basically all of those game titles have something to do with this game. It's you play a little blob. You control the blob by rolling around. The blob has big eyes. He looks, as Spanner pointed out, looks like Bert from the animated show Trapdoor. And there's many of these game characters do. And yeah, and that's what it is. So you're basically rolling around these little planets. It's also got something in common with Mario Galaxy, I suppose, in that each of the planets in this game each has its own gravitational pull, so you jump from one to the other and you land and you roll around it. You have to collect, if the tide in a lot of the all levels have different objectives, but in most of them what you have to do is collect stuff by eating it, which is, this is the kind of mechanic that slightly resembles Katamari, because as you roll around eating things, the things that you can eat get bigger and bigger. So at first, you're just rolling around looking. Basically, you start off and you see, say, a car, and you think, right, I'm going to have that car in a bit. So you roll around just looking for example, a little bin. And then you eat the little bin, and then you find some more little bins, and then you go, ah, now I can probably have a bench, and you have a bench. And then you can eat people, which is a bit weird.
That is a bit weird.
Balloons. And then after you've done this for a while, you think, right, well, I've had a few benches, I've had a few people, I've had a few bins, I'm going to go for a car. So then you go for the car, and if it's a small car, you can eat it. And then you eat a few small cars, then you can eat big cars. And it's actually quite satisfying. At one level that I played, the objective is to eat a building. So you just have to keep eating things until your eating capacity grows to the point where you can eat the building.
Am I right? I was going to say, am I right in thinking that this game's got a sort of an environmental slant? I'm sure when I saw the video for it ages ago, it's about getting rid of all the rubbish and replacing it with nice verdancy.
Yeah, that's right. As you roll over the landscape, you remove things from it and you replace them, and flowers pop up in their place.
Okay.
And it does have an environmental slant. So on some levels, you're just clearing up litter, like old shopping trolleys lying around and stuff like that. And in others, I guess eating cars, there's an environmental message there, as long as they're not Priuses or electric cars. You're eating them because they pollute the environment. People, however, I'm not sure about. I don't know. The first time I was playing it and I ate a person, I thought, I'm not sure what the message there is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they're trying to tell me. there is an environmental message, but it really doesn't ram it down your throat because...
Perhaps it's trying to say that cannibalism is preferable to, you know, spending carbon miles on flying cows from Brazil to eat.
Yeah, you know,
thinking of
going on holiday this year, why not eat your sister?
It's a very clear and concise message there.
We haven't reviewed it yet, but it's getting reviewed this week. And I'm wary of saying too much. I'm wary of saying, for example, that I think it's brilliant and the review coming back and it not being so good, but I do think it is very good. It's a mechanic that I think works really well, this building mechanic, this kind of accumulating skills, I think works really well in games. In games that don't allow you to accumulate skills, I don't think are as good. I always thought that's the reason why Vice City was a much better GTA game than the two that came after it, because in that game you really got a sense that you were becoming a growing power.
Yeah.
Whereas in the other, you didn't have that. You just got to be powerful straight away.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good game. It looks good. It's got a nice kind of amateurish look to it, but it's charming all the same. And it moves quite slowly, I think, is the only problem. But it's got a good variety of missions. It's very good. Gomi, check it out.
Cool. I definitely will.
And the other one's a kind of a bigger deal. Name of it. It's a robot game, Bot Diaries. What was the one that came out last week? Spybot.
Spybot Chronicles.
Spybot Chronicles, yes. Yes, I've played that. And that's quite good. But it's not as good. It's we did review that. We actually reviewed it on the day. And we gave it a 7. And the criticism Spanner made about it, I think, is an accurate one. And it's good to compare it to Gomi in a way because of this. That it is actually, it looks good. It's really polished. And there are some things about the actual gameplay that are fantastic. Like you pick up power-ups that enable you to do different things like fire lasers. And, you know, there's a kind of puzzle element because you have to, you know, set up switches and stuff like that. One thing that I really like about it is when you have your lasers, the way you aim them, basically you just tap somewhere on the screen and it fires them off in that direction. So it means you don't have this platform game thing of only being able to fire horizontally, which, you know, I think is a worthy mechanic in its own right. But this, the way you can fire in any direction in this game is actually really good.
Okay.
And it's fine, but it's a little bit kind of soulless. It's a bit corporate.
Right. Okay.
Not as good as Gomi, in my opinion. So if you're going to get one platform game this week, go for Gomi.
Go for Gomi. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. What about you? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a game called Crazy Monkey Spin, which is it's a digital chocolate effort. So it's dependably well-rounded in the way that digital chocolate games tend to be. You basically play as a little monkey who has to save all of these animals that are trapped inside a zoo, who he's mysteriously related to. Every time that you have to save an animal, you have to save one per level. And it might be like a zebra, or it might be a panda, and there's various other animals. And he always refers to them as far as they're related to him. So he'll say, oh yes, it's my brother-in-law, Momo. I need to save him. Or it's my cousin, such and such. And yet these are different animals, so obviously interspecies breeding is a-okay by digital chocolate. But anyway, essentially what you need to do is swing from peg to peg by flicking in the direction of the next peg that you're trying to latch onto until you get to the cage. And then when you get to the cage, you just latch onto that peg and then the animal is released. And you've got to collect bananas on the way. And it's a bit sort of by the numbers. It's a bit, I don't know, it's not terribly exciting, but it is good fun. And it is, you know, it's pretty, flawless is the wrong word, but it's very robust, you know? So I've been enjoying that.
Sounds good.
I would recommend it. I would go as far as to recommend it. It's good. And the other game I've been playing is the horrendously titled Crush Bunny. Where basically,
is that better or worse than interspecies breeding?
Interspecies, I don't know. Do you mean if I was given the choice to either watch interspecies breeding or bunnies being crushed, which would I choose?
Which is worse for you to engineer for, not for watching, but to engineer for entertainment purposes?
Oh God!
Which is more morally reprehensible?
I think probably, I think a certain amount of interspecies breeding is okay, isn't it? I mean,
it's actually not possible. Interspecies breeding.
Okay, sorry, not interspecies breeding. It's not possible. But I'm thinking about, you know, like how certain dogs have bred with other types of dogs. It's not really interspecies, is it? But
well, they're okay. All the same species, but they're different breeds. But different species of, okay, lions and tigers. So when you have things that are kind of vaguely connected to other, or closely connected to other species, and sometimes they can breed, but then their offspring can't breed. So a liger
can't
breed.
Which
is a real thing. Ligers won't be able to breed and produce offspring, so they never.
Right?
So they don't.
Okay,
yeah.
So if it's the same genus, so like obviously like lions and tigers come from the same genus, then they can mate. So if you extrapolate that, does that mean that hippos and horses could theoretically mate?
I don't know. It's actually very, there's a lot to it. There are lots of levels. There's genus, there's phylum, there's all these different like levels of categorization.
Okay.
So hippo, horse, I don't know. I know that donkeys and ponies, can they? And then something comes out and that can't reproduce. Ligers can't reproduce. There are lots of these things.
You know that, a lot about interspecies breeding.
Do you want to hear a good word as well?
Go on.
Speciation. That's when, so if you were to get like one species, like say, I guess even humans, and you state them and then put them like on separate parts of the planet without any contact with each other, so they could never reproduce with each other. And you did this, and over millions of years, they would evolve in different ways. And the point at which, or the phenomenon of them eventually not being able to reproduce with each other because they're different species is called speciation.
Ah, that's a good word. Yeah, and an interesting process. Well, back to crushing bunnies. I'm not sure if...
Which is worse, I think we've decided.
I think we've decided that is worse, yeah. It depends on what you're crushing them with. If you don't have to see the aftermath, say for example you just drop like a steamroller on top of a bunny and you don't actually see anything, you just see the steamroller land and then it's just flat, then I think that's probably not so bad. But if you actually see a bunny being crushed slowly, say in a compressor or underfoot, I think then definitely interspecies breeding is preferable. But anyway, crushed bunnies, I think we've explored that as far as we can. Crushed bunnies, it's essentially a game where you have a selection of rabbits on screen wandering around, and at the top of the screen, this is so far as I can deduce, because to be honest with you, I've only played it for about 3 minutes, but from the top of the screen, there are things dropping, heavy things which can crush bunnies. And it's your job to try and keep the bunny safe by placing certain objects on the screen and by kind of manoeuvring the things that are falling out of the way of the bunnies. And the bunnies are constantly expunging happiness, which fills up a meter, and they remain happy for as long as they're not being crushed. And as soon as your meter is full, the level is complete. And I mean, I've got high hopes, actually, based on the very short play session I've had with it. And I love the premise. It's deliciously perverse in a kind of in the way that only the App Store can deliver. And I'll be reviewing it on the site this week, so look out for that.
Yeah, and I think Game of the Week, what do you reckon?
Game of the Week? God.
Let's identify one. Well, I mean, I haven't played your two and you haven't played my two.
No.
But nevertheless, I'm going to nominate Gomi, but...
Okay, based on how cool Gomi looks, I'll go with that for this week.
Right then, so do we have any music or anything like that?
Well, last week people failed to get the correct answer, but I did get a lot of answers, and they were all wrong. So I've decided to scrap it and just tell you the answer, and then we can have a new one for this week. Okay, so the answer for last week was... That's my poor attempt at a drum roll... Pocket God. Are you shocked?
You know what?
What?
You said was, and then the Skype call went silent. And it went silent for, I imagine, pretty much the duration of you explaining it to me, and now I don't know still.
Okay, well, what you missed was an incredible drum roll, followed by a Shakespearean soliloquy and various other actorly business. But no, the answer, in case you missed it, was Pocket God. Which you all missed, because none of you got it right. It was maybe a little bit tough. So this week, we're going to have something a little bit easier. This is music from a game released this week, and we've talked about it in this show. So, here goes. Okay. Any ideas, Rob?
No. Was it meant to sound as if it was being played in a wind tunnel?
I can't possibly say. I might give the game away.
Oh, I see. No, I haven't. I have no idea. But I heard very little actual music. You know, I heard.
It's a combination of sound effects and music. Yeah, there's yeah. Both going on there. So.
Okay. No, as usual, I've got no idea.
Okay.
I'm not. very good at this game.
Well, yeah, hopefully some of our listeners will. And if you do, write to me, fraser@pocketgamer.co.uk. And if you get the correct answer, we will announce you next week on the show. And you will receive a £5 iTunes gift voucher for your trouble. In fact, if you live in another territory, you might not receive a £5 iTunes gift voucher because there are various complications with the way in which Apple's vouchers work. But you will get something to that value, fear not. So that's the competition. And the other thing to mention as well is that if you want to win something a little bit more exciting than £5 iTunes gift voucher, not that that's not a stellar weekly prize for us to be handing out, if you complete one of the surveys that we have running on our site just now, it's a survey to give us feedback about Pocket Gamer, what you think about it, what works, what doesn't. You will be automatically entered into a prize draw where you can win either one iPod Touch or one of two N-Series N-Gage compatible Nokia handsets. So well worth taking the 5 minutes to do that. You don't even need to know the right answer to anything. It's an automatic entry to a prize draw. So do make use of that competition.
Definitely. And obviously the other reward, you're not just getting potentially an iPod Touch or a Nokia phone, you're also getting the satisfaction that comes with knowing that you're contributing to the development of something. And you know, you can say something and then the site could implement it and you would know. We wouldn't give you any credit. I mean, understand that, you know, ever. We would you know, say that it was our idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, you would know, possibly, potentially.
You would know. Everyone's a winner.
Especially us.
So
that's that. That's good. So I'll catch you next week, Fraser. Hopefully by then the sanding in Berlin will have finished.
Yes.
The car alarm in Bristol will have stopped going. Yeah, so yeah, go to pocketgamer.co.uk and you can read our writings and reviews of the games we've been talking about today. And yeah, give us a rating on iTunes. And I think this week, I don't know, two out of five? What do you think?
I'd say two. Maybe a three. There are a few quips in there. I don't know. Well, hopefully the listeners will come back and tell us that it's a solid 6 out of 5, which is what we're both secretly thinking.
I think 5 out of 5 for trivia.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. So that's very good. We'll catch you all next week. It's bye-bye from me.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said that's my wife and me. I was like, who's your wife? I'm not volunteering for that job. Okay. Well, goodbye from you and goodbye from me. Goodbye.